the end of the message this morning, there was one bar left on the battery. Now there's three bars left on the battery. Huh? Yes, apparently. All right, well, good afternoon. If you would please turn your Bibles to the book of John, John chapter 20. We're going to start looking at John chapter 20, and we only have 21 chapters in this book of John, so I'm already praying and wondering what the Lord is going to have me do next. We still, it's not like we're going to be finishing out, all of you have figured this out, it's not like we're going to finish it out today or even next week, so I have a little bit of time, but we are very rapidly coming up to the end of this wonderful book. It's been a blessing for me to be able to study it and also to be able to teach it. I know it's taken some time to be able to get through it, but it's very rich. As we have already noted, and Joe has reminded us, and my brother said the same thing at the conference, half of the book of John is in the last week of the Lord's, last 2 weeks of the Lord's ministry. And it's been a blessing to be able to see that. It really has, at least for me. I've really enjoyed it, so I hope that you have as well. John chapter 20, we're going to look at the first 18 verses, and we're going to see here a wonderful thing that's bestowed upon somebody, and kind of an uncommon thing at this time, at that day and age. So let's look at, starting with verse 1. It says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved," which, if you all haven't figured that out, that's John, "and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, which was again John, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooped down and looked in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not laying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. And she and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, or Rabbi, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came, told the disciples, and she had seen the Lord, and that she had spoken that he had spoken these things unto her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you now, Lord, again, truly thankful for this time, for this opportunity, Lord, to be able to teach and to be able to instruct, Lord, your word, and expound. We ask, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you bring to my mind those things that I've studied, those things that you laid upon my heart, my mind, Lord, and amongst those things that I have not penned, I ask, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct in all that's being said and done today. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that you encourage us through the preaching and teaching of your word today. We ask, Lord, these things in Jesus Christ and his precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to see and understand that these verses primarily focus on Mary Magdalene. These first 18 verses, I want you to understand that a woman was not highly respected in these days. Not at all. In fact, she was more like a possession than she was a free individual. Today, we end up talking about, in society, we talk about women, how they are equals and that they deserve equal pay. They deserve equal response. They deserve much of that. And I would agree in those things in many ways. But in the same context of this scripture, we see here that women were not at all respected in that manner and in that way. So with that situation, it's very special for us to see that Mary Magdalene was used in a very special way, and there's 18 verses that were used to be able to describe the relationship that Mary Magdalene had to our Lord. And it's not just these 18 verses, but it also refers to her throughout the four Gospels. So who was Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene must have been a very wicked person before our Lord saved her. And the reason I say that, it's said of her to have harbored seven devils or seven demons. Our Lord cast those out of her according to Luke chapter 8 and verse 2. And also in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9. Seven of them dwelled within her, and the Lord cast them out. Now I want you to see that Mary Magdalene, she must have been faithful to the Lord because the Lord rewards her faithfulness. And I believe that by documenting this portion of Scripture throughout these 18 verses, I believe that he was rewarding her faithfulness. Once she was saved, she seemed to dedicate her life to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." It's not generic to just that gender. It's not gender specific. I believe when it says man, it's mankind, not specifically to just men. The Lord has used women in a very special way throughout the Scriptures. In fact, we even seen Dorcas, which was a deaconess, which was very well respected in the church. And in Acts, we also see that there are others that were also recognized as women. Even Mary. Mary was also a very special woman that the Lord bestowed a wonderful blessing upon her of being able to give birth to our Lord and our Savior. That doesn't make her any more holy. It doesn't make her any more blessed than the rest of us. But she had a very special position, a very special role to follow through. And I believe that Mary Magdalene as well did. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34 says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Moreover, or whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And I believe that Mary, I believe that Mary Magdalene had this type of faithfulness. And the reason why I say that is because Mary Magdalene's testimony was that she surely loved our Lord. She was there at his crucifixion. We see that documented not only here in John chapter 19 and verse 25, as we've previously studied, but also we see in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 56 and Mark chapter 15 and verse 40. She was there at his crucifixion. She knew where he was buried, according to Matthew chapter 27 and verses 60 and 61. And also noted, very well noted, in Mark chapter 15 and verse 47. She wanted to make sure that his body was anointed 3 days after his death. And as we noted here in John chapter 20 and verses 1 and 2, as we just read, but also in Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. She knew where he was buried. She wanted to make sure things were taken care of and anoint his body so that he got the right treatment as he so deserved. And another idea of her testimony that she really loved Jesus was that the Lord appeared to Mary Magdalene first. There wasn't another. He appeared to her. And that was according to John chapter 20 and verse 14, as we have already read. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. She was the first that seen our Lord and Savior after his resurrection. You know, what's interesting to me too, and it just came to my mind, is that the fact that the two disciples, Peter and John, were there, but they didn't see any angels. But who did? Mary did. And Mary didn't even go in. She peeked from the outside. She looked from the outside. I believe that she loved Jesus so much because she understood what he rescued her from. I believe a lot of times people, we end up forgetting many times. I think that if we've been around church for a long period of time, we really forget many times what the Lord has really saved us from. But it doesn't look like Mary Magdalene forgot. Jesus said in Luke chapter 7 and verses 41 and 42, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, when the Lord is talking to Simon the Pharisee, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon went through and he answered in verse 47. He said, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. See, Simon was all upset over the fact that this sinful woman, she was washing Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped his feet with her hair and then anointed his feet with oil. And Simon was all upset because everybody knew this woman's testimony was that she was a sinful woman. But the Lord knew, and I believe that Mary knew, and that's why she took up her cross and followed her Lord. That's why she was there when he was crucified. She knew where he was buried. That's why she went to go anoint his body the third day after he had died, but yet rose. Why was she so much in despair? Why was she so upset? I mean, this crying that she had is just as the Jews always did. It was a very loud lamenting. It was a very attention-getting. It was not some meek and mild crying in the corner off by the side and trying not to be a spectacle. It was a loud weeping. It was a crying. People could hear this. But why was she in such despair? Well, she didn't really understand that Jesus was going to raise from the dead. I'm not so convinced that Mary actually understood all the theology that was from the Old Testament. I believe some of the disciples, they should have known because they were taught, they were instructed. In fact, I know Matthew should have known this because of the fact that he was supposed to be a rabbi, but yet he apparently didn't follow through, didn't finished the course of all of his studies or failed somewhere, and then he became a tax collector. But yet she didn't know. John chapter 20 and verse 9, we read, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. This seems to be referring just to Peter and to John, but I don't believe that because Mary Magdalene was there at the same time. That they is all encompassing of those that were there. Mary was the first there. For Mary, all was lost. All she wanted to do was to take care of her Savior, her Master and Teacher. All she wanted to do was care for his body, anoint his body with the special ointment that she had, which was set aside for those that were dead. They have taken away, and listen to John chapter 20 and verse 2. They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Doesn't it sound hopeless? Doesn't it sound so much distraught? I mean, I hope I'm not just reading into this, but it really shows that she really cared. It really does. I mean, she walked in, she walked up to the grave, it says, and it was opened, right? It says, when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taketh away from the sepulcher. She didn't go into the sepulcher. She didn't look down in. She just assumed all of a sudden that the stone was rolled back. Somebody went in there and robbed the body. See, the loss of those that we love can be very troubling, can it? John chapter 20 and verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. It wasn't until after she came back, after the disciples came, that she actually looked in. She dared to look in. She wouldn't even go in as Peter did and eventually John. We notice that as Peter and John ran, they started off together, but John apparently must be fast like Isaac there. And I would imagine it would be like Isaac and Joe running together, and Isaac would just go ahead and leave Joe behind. But yet Peter walks right into the grave. He wanted to see firsthand what was going on. John wouldn't do that. He crouched down, he looked in, he looked around trying to figure out what was going on. Then after he'd seen Peter walk in, then he said, I guess it must be okay. I'll go ahead and go in. But Mary, she just wouldn't do it. She wouldn't commit to doing that. What was her compelling resolution to this despair that she had? Well, as she's weeping and she talks to the angels, she supposed that Jesus, as Jesus was there, she supposed that he was just the gardener of the local graveyard. In John chapter 20 and verse 15, she says, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, or if thou have moved him, if you put him somewhere else, if you took and hid his body, if you gave him to somebody else, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. I'll single-handedly take care of it. I'm not worried about what will happen to you. I won't turn you into a local magistrate. I won't tell any of the disciples. It doesn't matter. I just want to know where he's at so I can keep. Take care of his body. But what's great about this is that the Lord didn't allow Mary Magdalene to stay in that sorrowful place. He didn't allow her to stay there for very long. Notice what it says there in verse 16. After she says that in verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He says her name. Just a moment ago, she thought he was the gardener. She looked at him, but she just thought he was a gardener. She didn't recognize who he was. It wasn't until he said her name. Isn't that amazing? What does that point back to? What does it point back to? She didn't recognize who he was physically, but she recognized her master's voice. Reminds us of John chapter 10 and verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Again in John chapter 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they what? Follow me. The Lord had known Mary personally. She didn't know what Jesus looked like now after he rose from the dead the third day. She didn't recognize him. I don't know if it was because of the tears in her eyes. I don't know if it was because of the fact that his body was changed and the idea of it was so brilliant and so wonderful that she just didn't recognize him. I don't know if she just didn't, she seen some body that was there and she just thought that it could have been a gardener and she didn't go up and look at the person's face because of how distraught she was. But it wasn't until he said, Mary. What a blessing. What a blessing. And she recognized that. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, Master. Goes to show you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The Lord blesses this sinner, saved by grace, and blesses her for all eternity. Not only in salvation, but her testimony continues to go on even today. Some 2,000 years or more, her testimony continues to go on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 should be pointing us in this direction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Mary's distraught, her crying, her depression, her just overcome with emotion over the loss of her Lord and Savior, worked for her a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Just think about this. She gets to even be the first to grasp his feet. It says here in the text that the Lord said, he says, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. We have to understand that when it says touch me not, that means cling onto or hold me not into one place. The tendency would be to grab on and to hold on and not let go. My wife and I, as I have spent a few times out of the country for work and been away from her for long periods of time, and even if it's for a few days, we have such a special relationship that when we get together, we hug. And we don't want to let go for a period of time. And we like to hold on. That's what it's kind of assuming. Because she got to touch Jesus' feet. Soon as she recognized him, she was able to say, Master, Rabbi, Lord, Savior. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Mary Magdalene got to hold on to the feet of Jesus and worship him. The disciples didn't. On that first morning, Mary got to do that. Not only did she get to be able to touch our Lord and Savior's feet on that first morning, but she also gets the privilege to be able to tell the rest of the apostles that he was risen and for them to meet Jesus. She got the first marching orders. A woman. Now this is huge. It wasn't the fact that when the Lord chose out disciples, what did he choose out? He chose out 12 men. 12 men. And yet, when he rose the third day, the first one he gives orders to is to a woman that was possessed by 7 demons that he cast out. She carried up her cross, followed him, forsook everything, was there when he was persecuted, there when he was crucified, there when he was buried, and went there to be able to sanctify his body the third day so it didn't continue to smell or anything else. He gave her, not a disciple, not some other man, but Mary Magdalene, the joy and the privilege to be able to tell the rest of the disciples. That's amazing to me. You talk about a culture changer. The Lord was changing the culture. Jesus saith unto her in John chapter 20 and verse 17, as we've already read, touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 10, it says, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. The first orders the Lord had was given to a faithful woman. Now, I can't say this about my wife, but I know lots of other women I could say this about in the idea of this. But I guess I could say it about my wife as well. That the Lord seems to touch a lot of women long before he ever touches us men. I seen it in Dwight's life. The Lord got a hold of Charlotte, and then they started going back because Charlotte wanted to go to church. I don't know if he'll tell you that, but that's what I've seen. I've seen that in my own life, even in my ministry here, that the Lord was dealing with my wife, and the Lord got a hold of me through my wife. I also know another couple that it was by the faithfulness of the wife that it restored their family. Let's not discount how important women are to the work the Lord has in the ministry of the church. There's so many that demean women and they make it out to that they can't do these things or those things and they can't do anything but clean up the church and cook food and teach the little ones. Listen, I believe that women have all kinds of opportunities to minister within the Lord's church. Can they pastor a church? I'll tell you, no, I don't believe that. But there's still all kinds of things that they can do to be able to minister within the body of Christ. And I'll tell you this, there's been lots of women that have helped me in my 7 years as pastor here. They've been a real blessing to me. I have three of them here with us today that have been a big help. Rebecca teaches the little ones when my wife wasn't able to and has taken that on without any... I didn't even have to ask. She volunteered to do that. Mary Ann has done several things of setting up letters and doing other things that I needed to get done. She's helped me. Mary Jane has done the very same thing, organized all kinds of different things as far as cleanup days and the pantry and all. Man, I thank you for that because I don't have the time to do it all. I appreciate that. And the Lord is using your talents, and I don't want you to ever think that we have blown you off because you're very important to the worship of this church. Amen. And the Lord rewards faithfulness. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget it. Let's be dismissed. Dear the Father, we come to you now, Lord, again, truly thankful for this time, for this opportunity you've given us to study a portion of your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the women that we do have in this church, for their faithfulness and their desire to serve and honor and glorify you, Lord. We're so thankful for that, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, also for Mary Magdalene, and it points to us, Lord, that she was a sinner saved by grace, just like the rest of us. And yet, Lord, you used her. You glorified and magnified her even in the scriptures in the idea of using her to be the testimony to the rest of the disciples. I ask, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, all to be able to learn from her fine example that you've put in your word to be faithful to your work and to your word. We ask, Lord, these things in Jesus Christ, in his precious name. Amen.